July 17, 1996, 8:19 p.m. Transworld Airlines Flight 800 departs from New York's John F. Kennedy Airport en route to Paris. 12 minutes into the flight, as the airliner climbs to its cruising altitude, there is a catastrophic explosion. Boeing 747 plunges into the Atlantic Ocean, 9 miles off the coast of Long Island. All 230 people aboard perish, making it one of the most lethal disasters in commercial aviation history. Since that tragic night, more than 1 year ago, investigators have been working continuously seeking the source of the explosion. They have focused on three possible causes: a bomb, a missile, or a mechanical failure. A particular concern to FBI investigators were reports from dozens of eyewitnesses who, on the evening of July 17th, recalled seeing an object, usually described as a flare or firework, ascend and culminate in an explosion.
Arching from my right to my left.
A lot of people saw things in the sky, and a lot of people saw what we think is the same thing. Those witnesses they're good people, and they told us what they saw.
I'd like to know what I saw. I'd like to put it to rest.
I'd feel a lot better if I knew that something wasn't out there in a boat with a missile.
Was it a missile? Did foreign terrorists destroy the aircraft? At the request of the FBI, CIA weapons analysts looked into this possibility. The CIA's conclusion? The eyewitnesses did not see a missile. The eyewitness sightings of greatest concern, the ones originally interpreted to be of a possible missile attack, took place after the aircraft exploded. What these eyewitnesses saw was, in fact, the Boeing 747 in various stages of crippled flight. About 12 minutes after takeoff, the flight data recorder and cockpit voice recorder aboard Flight 800 suddenly ceased operating. These devices carry their own clocks and record time along with other information. The flight data recorder registered no unusual activity before it stopped working. However, the cockpit voice recorder registered a fraction of a second of loud noise just before it stopped. National Transportation Safety Board analysts concluded this sound was associated with the beginning of the destruction of the aircraft. Based on flight recorder data and airport radar tracking, the aircraft's location, altitude, speed, and heading at the instant the recorder stopped are known. This information was used to determine the distance and direction from the aircraft to each eyewitness at the moment the aircraft exploded, making it possible to calculate how long sound from the explosion took to reach each eyewitness, and to associate what eyewitnesses heard with what they saw. To understand this concept, consider the technique used to determine how far away a lightning strike is. This is done by measuring the delay between when an observer sees a lightning strike and hears the thunder it causes. The delay occurs because sound travels about 1,100 feet per second and light is nearly instantaneous. An observer who hears thunder 5 seconds after seeing lightning knows that the lightning strike is approximately 1 mile away. On the evening of July 17th, many eyewitnesses reported hearing a loud boom as part of their observations. The closest of these eyewitnesses was more than 8 miles from where Flight 800 exploded. Any sound heard at that distance and produced in the aircraft before the recording ended would have been recorded. So we can be confident that no loud sound was produced before the one at the end of the cockpit voice recording. Using this fact, it was possible to associate many eyewitnesses' visual observations with things happening to Flight 800. For instance, analysts knew when Flight 800 exploded, but when did the aircraft hit the water? One observer in a beachfront condo reported to FBI agents that he saw a huge, intense, orange, yellow, and red fireball drop from the sky into the ocean. Immediately after the fireball hit the water, he heard a loud boom. It took sound 49 seconds to travel the 10 miles from the position where the plane exploded to where this eyewitness was located. So his statement established that the aircraft exploded about 49 seconds before it hit the water. A second eyewitness was located in a boat 8.8 miles from where the aircraft exploded. He observed the latter stages of the disaster, describing what he thought might be a shooting star moving in a downward 45-degree sloping arc. He then realized he was observing an aircraft. He saw one wing separate from the fuselage and a large fire trail of burning fuel erupt. Just as the wing separated, he heard a loud concussion sound. plane and wing then quickly dropped about a mile to the water's surface. Knowing this eyewitness's distance from the aircraft when it exploded, analysts were able to calculate that the concussion sound he heard originated 42 seconds earlier. Therefore, the structural failure and fire eruption he saw began 42 seconds after the onboard recordings ended. This event was corroborated by an infrared sensor aboard a U.S. satellite, which detected a large heat source in the vicinity of the aircraft about 43 seconds after the recordings ended. A third eyewitness was a passenger on U.S. Air Flight 217. This eyewitness reported seeing a small aircraft fly under him 10 seconds before the appearance of a small flare-like projectile traveling in an east-northeasterly direction. Radar tracking of Flight 217 and the small aircraft shows that he first saw the flare-like object almost exactly when Flight 800's cockpit voice recorder detected an onboard explosion. He also specified where the flare-like object first appeared, which coincided with where Flight 800 was when it exploded. And his statement that the flare-like object was traveling in an east-northeasterly direction agrees with the direction that Flight 800 is known to have been traveling when it exploded. So the flare-like object he saw almost certainly was Flight 800 just after it exploded, not a missile. A fourth eyewitness reported that he watched a white light, perhaps a firework, traveling upward at a steep angle with respect to the horizon. The light zigzagged as it rose, and at the apex of its travel arched over and disappeared. This observation lasted about 15 seconds. 2 or 3 seconds later, a fireball appeared in the sky near where the white light had disappeared. The eyewitness was able to specify a landmark over which the white light first appeared, a house near the beach, and a second house behind which the descending fireball disappeared. FBI investigators determined precisely where the eyewitness was standing and then measured the line of sight angle between the eyewitness and each of the two houses. Calculations based on the flight path of Flight 800 with respect to this eyewitness show that when the aircraft exploded, it was just passing over the house above which the white light first appeared. So the white light the eyewitness saw very likely was the aircraft briefly ascending and arching over after it exploded, rather than a missile attacking the aircraft. This eyewitness's visual observations are consistent with the aircraft's known horizontal motion during the 49 seconds which elapsed after the onboard recordings ended. Radar data show that during this time, the aircraft traveled about 15 degrees from right to left with respect to this eyewitness, placing it near where the eyewitness claimed the fireball disappeared, behind the second house. Using these eyewitness reports and radar tracking data, CIA analysts were able to reconstruct the approximate path of Flight 800 from the instant its recordings ended until it struck the water. The following sequence of events is based on that analysis. Just after the aircraft exploded, it pitched up abruptly and climbed several thousand feet from its last recorded altitude of about 13,800 feet to a maximum altitude of about 17,000 feet. This is consistent with information provided by NTSB investigators and Boeing engineers, who determined that the front third of the aircraft, including the cockpit, separated from the fuselage within 4 seconds after the aircraft exploded. This significant, sudden loss of mass from the front of the aircraft caused the rapid pitch up and climb. The explosion, although very loud, was not seen by any known eyewitness. However, the subsequent small fire trailing from the aircraft was visible to a few of the closest eyewitnesses on land, sea, and in other aircraft. It was repeatedly described as an ascending white light resembling a flare or firework, but it was difficult to see against the relatively light sky. Shortly after Flight 800 reached the peak of its ascent, about 20 seconds after it exploded, a fireball erupted from the aircraft. This was clearly visible to many eyewitnesses. The aircraft then went into a very steep and rapid descent. As the aircraft descended, it produced an increasingly visible fire trail. When the jet reached an altitude of roughly 1 mile, about 42 seconds after it exploded, its left wing separated from the fuselage, releasing unburned fuel. The fuel's subsequent ignition and blaze produced a dramatic cascade of flames, visible to eyewitnesses more than 40 miles away, and detected by an infrared sensor aboard a U.S. satellite. About 7 seconds after the left wing detached, and 49 seconds after the initial explosion, the burning debris hit the water. CIA analysts developed this model using observations from key eyewitnesses who were closest to the disaster and who provided detailed descriptions of what they saw and heard. This portrayal was then evaluated against descriptions provided by more than 200 additional eyewitnesses. Not surprisingly, most eyewitnesses saw only the most conspicuous segment of the disaster, the fire trail and cascade of flames in the 10 to 15 seconds before the aircraft hit the water. Analysts used two techniques to determine that these eyewitnesses saw only the end of the aircraft's descent. First, sound from the aircraft's explosion took more than 40 seconds to reach each of the 58 eyewitnesses who reported hearing sounds associated with the disaster. Therefore, any events eyewitnesses reported seeing at about the time they heard the first sound took place well after the explosion. In fact, this technique was used to determine that one eyewitness's observations began more than 17 seconds after the aircraft hit the water. Second, many eyewitnesses, including most of those who reported hearing sounds, described only events that happened within about 10 seconds of when the left wing detached from the fuselage. This was an extraordinary sight, as two distinct fireballs and a trailing cascade of flames caused by the burning fuel fell to the ocean. Since the left wing is believed to have detached about 42 seconds after the aircraft exploded, none of these observers, a total of 223, saw events occurring near the time when the recordings ended. So, of the 244 eyewitness reports analyzed by the CIA, most described observations made only during the final moments of the disaster, well after the aircraft exploded. The 21 eyewitnesses whose observations began earlier described what almost certainly was the aircraft in various stages of crippled flight after it exploded. Those who said they saw something ascend and culminate in an explosion probably saw the burning aircraft ascend and erupt into a fireball just after it reached its maximum altitude. From a distance of 9 miles or more, this may have looked like a missile attacking an aircraft. But nothing in their statements leads CIA analysts to conclude that these eyewitnesses in fact saw a missile. Indeed, several eyewitnesses who suspected that they had watched a missile destroy an aircraft were puzzled that they hadn't actually seen the aircraft before the missile hit it. The airliner should have been visible to any observer witnessing a missile approach it, so the eyewitnesses almost certainly saw only the burning aircraft without realizing it. To date, there is no evidence that anyone saw a missile shoot down TWA Flight 800. Initial speculation that a missile was involved was based totally on the statements of eyewitnesses who were seeking to assist the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the National Transportation Safety Board as these agencies probed into the possible causes of the tragedy. Without the assistance of these eyewitnesses, the accounting given here would not have been possible.